Well, I get told this morning that the baby is due, and there was all this rush to the hospital. And I asked him, Stephen, what are you preaching on? He said, spiritual growth. I said, well, I have some thoughts on spiritual growth that I'd like to share, and he can do his sermon, which outline you have in your bulletins, some other time. But that's where we begin. There's an exhortation. If we turn to 2 Peter and chapter 3, I usually looked only at verse 18 when thinking of spiritual growth, but it's good that Stephen has verse 17 as well there. I do hope, and I want you all to tell him to preach that sermon, because the doctrine of spiritual growth is an important doctrine. I call it a doctrine. Now that means you have to believe in it, and you should have strong convictions about it, spiritual growth, because it's not enough for you to be born again. There are lots of people who claim they're born again and they don't grow. If you're not growing, you're not born again. Because just think of a baby. Reagan is born, right? And when he was born, Rachel and Royston, right, R squared, they found him a little tiny little creature. Girl. Reagan is a girl. She, yeah. Was this tiny little bundle of joy who kept them awake nights. And you know, this bundle of joy can be a cranky little baby who screams and cries. But if that bundle of joy remained a bundle of joy and didn't keep growing, they would be very, very worried, right? And all of you who are married, have children, you have been concerned that your child grows up. And if there's no physical development, then you worry about that child. And you rush to doctors and get some special attention given to a child that's not growing. But we don't care, or we care two hoots, when we have so many people in our churches who say they are born again into God's family and they don't show any signs of growth. We don't rush to a spiritual doctor. And we don't tear our hair apart and say, what's wrong with you? You're not growing. If you're not growing, then you're underdeveloped, not developing, you may be dead. And most probably in the spiritual realm, if you're not growing, most probably you're not born again. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. I say that with absolute certainty. If you're not growing, you are dead. You're spiritually dead. And 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you see that. It's an exhortation. It's a command. Grow. But grow. You must grow. And Stephen, in his outline, if you look at the outline of those pink sheets, it's very feminine. CCC, pink sheets. Verse 17 gives you a warning. And if you look at verse 17, it says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, you already know this. You already know this. Be on your guard, that so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. You're not steady, you're not stable, you're not faithful, you're not loyal. You're just a useless, fruitless, not developing, not growing claimant. Just a claimant saying you are born again, but you're a self-deceived person, which is the worst. Forget about deceiving somebody else. You're deceiving yourself. You're going to hell. You're not growing. So there's a warning in verse 17 and an exhortation in verse 18. And the glory in verse 18 belongs to whom? That verse 18 ends with, to him be the glory. Alright? So that's Stephen's sermon. We're done with it. But that's where we begin. You've got to grow and stop deceiving yourself. One of my favorite verses on spiritual growth is John chapter 8. Look at it. Jesus speaking to the Jews of his time. And in chapter 8 of John's Gospel, gives this exhortation. It's not an exhortation. It's really a statement of fact. Verse 31. What did Jesus say? To those Jews who had believed him. Look at it. They are people who claim to believe in him. So you believe me, you say you want to follow me, you are my disciples, that's what you claim. What does Jesus tell them? First off, straight off, the word if is important. If is a condition. If you continue. Are you with your Bibles? If you have your smartphones open, you can't underline. But that's a word you need to underline. Continue. If you continue. In other words, if you don't continue, the opposite will happen. But if you continue, in what? Not in just something mystical, unspecified, some general idea. Now, if you continue in my word, can you hold up God's word? Smartphones? God's word. If you continue in this Bible, and it's good, you'll have started reading from Genesis, you're now in Numbers. Very few churches read through the Bible. Very few Christians read through the Bible. You read from here and there. That's all kinds of strange weirdos who call themselves Christians, taking a little bit here and there, like there's some buffet all the time in your quiet time. You know, buffet Bible reading. Take a little from here, a little from there. I like that, so I take that. And I like that, so I take it many times from buffets, right? The Bible is to be something you read systematically through. Continue in my word. If you continue in my word, then, see the word then, if then. You went to school, you were taught, if then. The condition, if you do this, then. What is it? If you continue in my word, then you are, see the word, truly disciples of mine. If you do not continue in my word, then you are fake disciples, not truly. And lots of us have trouble figuring ourselves out, don't we? Am I really a believer? In the old days, we used to have lots of altar calls. And there were lots of so-called believers who would go forward in every altar call. Every time there was a gospel meeting, an evangelist would come and say, come forward. They would go again and again and again. These days, we don't have that kind of meeting, right? Every time we go forward, because you keep thinking, oh yeah, I don't know whether I'm really a Christian. you can know whether you're a true disciple or not, whether you're a real Christian or not. How? Tell me. If you continue in my word. Are you getting it? It's very clear. See, being a Christian, you cannot say, I'm not sure. When we have conversations, do we do a lot of Being a Christian is being sure. And if you are not sure, then tell yourself, I'm not a Christian. And become a Christian, for sure. Why? Be unsure, right? I mean, why do you need to be unsure when you can be sure? Which is better, to be sure or to be unsure? Always in doubt. I'd like to be sure about everything. And the most important thing about going to heaven, if I die today, I'm going to heaven. You know, when I get into health issues, when I have tragedies, when everything goes for a toss, when it doesn't happen like I want it to happen, and it's almost like death is staring me in the face, I'm quite happy. You know why? Because I know I'm going to heaven. And whatever I'm losing is not worth keeping. Amen? I'm going into eternal life, for sure. I know my sins are forgiven. Jesus is real. He's the only God. He saved me from sin because He really died for me. And His death is sufficient for me. He really paid in full for my sin. He took my punishment. He took the wrath of God for me on my behalf. And His righteousness is what He clothes me with. I'm sure of all those things. Hey, isn't it wonderful to be sure? Now that's sure. I can move on. We use the word, let's move on, right? Move on. In what? In growing. In growing. I'm not just sitting in the quicksand or the mud pool of, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Am I really saved? I'm still struggling with my sin. No. I'm now sure of all that. I move on in what? Growing. Have I made that simple? Is it clear? Alright. Now, we have three words in this whole thing called being a Christian. Being a Christian. Three key words that Christians use. To be a Christian, you have to be justified. Everything I've spoken about so far is about being justified. Justified. And one day, whether it is when I die, or if, when Jesus comes again in physical form in His second coming and I see Him face to face, I will be, the third word, glorified. Are you getting it? That's being a Christian. Being justified and being sure that one day I will see Jesus face to face, I will be glorified. Both those things, the first event and the last event, the first and the third, after the third, there is no other event. Okay? It's eternity. Are instantaneous. And you have nothing to do for it. Did you realize that? I have to do nothing to be justified and accepted by God. He gives me the gift of faith. He gives me the gift of repentance. I turn from my sin. I bow the knee to Jesus. I'm justified before Him. He clothes me with His righteousness. Happens instantaneously. The third and final step, when I see Him as He is, I will be like Him. If you want a verse for that, look at 2 John. I'm glad I'm still able to remember some of these things. You know why I remember these things? Tell me. One guess. I'm sure about it. That's why. These are my convictions. I've digested it. It's real. And I am for sure sure about this. Second, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. And when we see him, we shall be. Is that the verse? Are you looking at John's Gospel or 1 John?
Chapter 3.
Chapter 3, yes. Chapter 3, not 2.
Chapter
3,
verse
2. Verse 2. When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him. Is that verse there? Okay, good. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. When we see him, we shall be like him. Everyone got that verse? Because we will see him as he is. What's that verse about? It's about the third and final being a Christian's experience. Glorification. And when, how long will that take? When I see him face to face, how long will it take? Like that. If you want more verses on it, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 50 onwards, it says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, we shall all be changed. For this mortal shall put on immortality, and we shall have a resurrection body which will live forever. You got that? So there's sanctification, there's justification, and there's glorification. In the middle is this second word, and that's called sanctification. Have you heard that word? Sanctification. And it takes from the time you're justified till you're glorified. These two instantaneous events, the first and the last. In between that is the second word and experience. That is a lifetime between justification and glorification. It's called sanctification. And when we talk about growing in Christ, it's that second thing, sanctification. From the time you are saved till the time you die and or see Jesus face to face, you have this long, lifelong process. Someone said, it's a process. We would rather have it as a crisis experience. No? If only I could get fully mature and sanctified instantaneously. Wow, that would be great. So someone has said, a crisis without a process will lead to an abscess. You just can't have it. You need a process. And it's a lifelong walking with Christ. If you continue, how long? How long?
Life.
Hello?
Lifelong.
Lifelong. In the Word, right? If you continue in my word for your whole life, then you are truly my disciples. Just think of the word disciple. Disciple really means what? Jesus in chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 19, he said, follow me. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. A disciple is a follower. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, 29, and 30, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. A disciple is not just a follower. Because if you're just a follower, you become what? I'm following, and I'm looking. I'm just a spectator. You have to be a follower who is also a learner. How do you learn? You take a share of the yoke of Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30, and learn of me. You're a learner. A disciple is not just a follower, a spectator, and a learner. Because if you learn and learn and learn, what do you become? An academic, right? A philosopher, a know-it-all. And the Bible says, one who keeps learning and acquiring knowledge gets puffed up, proud. Have you met such people? They know all the Bible things. I have someone who claims to be Libra, and he has an addiction. And he sits with me when I'm counseling, and he says, you know what you're supposed to do now? You've given me so many warnings, you've given me so much counsel, now you should discipline me. Because that's what the Bible says. I said, yeah, you are a great counselor. You can counsel me also. And you can counsel hundreds of people. You know so much. But you can't get free from your sin. Pastor Chris, this is a disease. No, it's a sin. Yeah. No, the Bible also teaches you to be patient with sinners. And he'll give you Bible verses. See, he knows so much. Have you met such people? They know all the answers. And they will also, like this man, be able to counsel somebody else out of addiction and out of all kinds of sins. But they themselves are still trapped in their own sin. Knowledge puffs up. Knowledge is useless. Because what must you go further in your being a disciple? You follow and spectate. You learn and you become knowledgeable. But to avoid just being a knowledgeable person and a spectator, you move on to Luke chapter 6. And verse 40 says, it is enough for a student to be like his teacher. A disciple to be like his master. You become like the master. That's Christian disciple. You become like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. The only reason you have been saved, so that God will be glorified, not that you will be saved. The real reason why God saves sinners is for His glory, not for your salvation. And He is best glorified when you are like Christ. And that truth is also found in Romans chapter 8, 28, 29, 30. Those whom He called, He knew, He foreknew, and He wanted to be conformed to the image of His Son. Are you getting that? Alright, so we come back to this. I'm justified, I'm going to be glorified. Two events that are instantaneous, but then in the middle is the second thing, which is sanctification, which is a lifelong continuing in the Word of God. You know what this word continue means? Continuing in the Word of God is not just reading, getting knowledge, but there's one key word, obedience. You walk in the Word. You continue in the Word means you walk in the Word. You obey it. You behave in the Word of God. Your life behavior, your lifestyle should be in the behavior of the Word of God. Is that simple? Now, look at two passages where there is clear teaching about this growth. First of all, in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 12 to 14. 1 John, John's first epistle. When you have finished the service, yeah, what time? Because you're yawning already. I'm so boring. Not even sure about. Yeah, when I used to preach at Steve Fernandez's local church, he used to say, we finish at 12:30, you can keep preaching and we'll be out. I just want to make sure when you go, so I can be with you.
You can eat with us after that. You can eat with us after that.
Roy's going to sing 12:15. Okay. I thought you wanted to cut me short. Okay. It's all being recorded, right? All this. So Stephen will hear all this. Okay. I don't have sermon notes, so I haven't lost my train of thought. Oh. You can do what you want. Go to sleep. So in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14, do you see this? As I pointed out to you in verse 12, little children. Verse 13, fathers. And in the middle of verse 13, tucked away is like Nick Hill, young men. And again, at the end of verse 13, children. And then verse 14, fathers. Are you seeing that? And in the middle, again tucked away in verse 14, young men. Do you see it? And you can see three grades or three age groups, three levels of Christian growth. One is little children, spiritual little children. What do they know? I'm writing to you because your sins have been forgiven, you see. Little children, you know your sins are forgiven. What else does he say about little children? In verse 13, it ends with, I have written to you children because you know the Father. You know Papa. Yeah, Abba Father. Oh, I'm so grateful God is my Father. Are you at that level? Little children. Dada, dada. Where's dada? Papa. When do little children go to daddy? When they want something, right? Or when they're in pain, right? Spiritual little children. Your prayer life is all about gimme, gimme, gimme. Bless me. You're at that level. The little children. I know my sins are forgiven. That's the sum total of your testimony. Hey, are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. How do you know? My sins are forgiven. Jesus died for me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Right? Little children. Then you have young men. Second level of spiritual growth. Young men. What do young men know? Young men, you have overcome the evil one. You have overcome the evil one. Verse 14, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Are you getting it? You graduate in spiritual growth, in continuing the word, in obeying the word, experiencing the greatness of God. How? You're victorious over the devil and all those temptations. You've overcome. You're an overcomer. You live in victory. not defeat. What are your prayer requests? If you're an overcomer, if you're living in victory, what are your prayer requests? Pray, because I'm speaking to this one and that one about Jesus. Pray that I will bear more fruit in my life. Not pray for my backache and my toe ache. Pray that I will be victorious. Pray that I will read my Bible. I have my quiet time regularly. You know those prayer requests of defeat? I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm this. I'm that. Okay. You're a baby. You graduate. You grow. See what it says. Verse 14. You don't only live victorious. You're strong. Why? What does it say? Because the word of God abides in you. You're memorizing scripture. You're reading scripture. You know it by heart. You've grown up. Right? Is it clear then? It's so clear, right? Is that what you covet in your life? To be strong? To be victorious? Not be afraid of the devil? And all his dark works and machinations and manipulations and schemes? You know the word of God. It abides in you. You continue in the word of God. Right? Keep awake. Good. And then you grow up even further. Fathers, you become an older man. You become an elder person. What do the fathers know? I'm writing to you fathers in verse 13, because you know him who has been from the beginning. Verse 14, I have written to you fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. You know the eternal God. You know you've graduated from just abiding in the word of God and the word of God abiding in you and being strong. You've become intimate with the eternal God who was from the beginning. How many years have you walked with God? Experienced His goodness and His power. Experienced His miracles in your life. Experienced answers to prayer. You know Him. You know, God has done so much for me for 5 years, for 10 years. For 20 years, I came to Christ in 1967. How many years is that? Come on.
50.
I should have 50 years of knowing God. How many years are you saved? Do you have that many years of answered prayer? Of seeing God do miracles in your life? Not just of healing you and taking away your backache or your bellyache and your loose motion, but really answering prayer. I've seen God provide me with hundreds of thousands of millions of rupees worth of ministry money. The first time I had a conference, I told the committee, we will invite 350 people. 1978, what's the budget? They said 17,000. I worked it all out. I gave it to the committee. They said, you're crazy. We don't even have any money. 17,000 in those days was like 17 million today. We had that conference. And we had money left over. 3,000 or 4,000. And the committee member said, we'll never again doubt God. Next year I said, let's have 4 camps. Discipleship camps. You're crazy. We can't do it. I resigned from the organization. Said, you told me last year, you will never doubt God again. And you're doubting God again. I'm not working with you all anymore. I moved on. Started Love Maharashtra. 1982, we had a conference. and we didn't have the full money. And the speaker came and he said, "Hey Chris, how's it going?" I said, "Really good." He said, "You have the money?" I said, "Yeah, more than enough." So he was as crazy as me. Maybe I was crazy like him because he's an older man. And he made an announcement. Chris says he doesn't need any more money. And we used to have an offering box like that at the conference. And the one who was making the announcement, every time he forgot to announce the offering box. And I say to the Lord, "This is going crazy, right, Lord? But you can do it." We had a balance. Enough for the whole team to go on a vacation to Manali. I'm not joking. God has answered so many prayers. I can't. Even if I want to, I cannot doubt God. He's given me a great wife. He's given me two great sons. He's given me, today, seventh grandchild. Can God do the impossible? I had an adopted daddy, Sardar. He said, "No one in their right mind will give you a girl in marriage, their daughter in marriage. You have no background. You have no, your history is just terrible. You come from the worst kind of brokenness. Mucked up life. There's no chance for you." And he used to walk with me and he loved me more than he loved his own. Look at me. I'm a walking answer to prayer. I cannot doubt God. Fathers, look at it. The third stage of spiritual growth is what? Fathers, you know the one who is from the beginning of eternity. You know when eternity began? Anybody know when eternity began? You know it never began? So don't scratch your bald head even to find out, right? Can't. Eternity never began. From that beginning, the Father, you know Him. And you know Him from your beginning. I went to Bishop School as a student. You know how much I paid right through 11 classes in those days. Our final exams were conducted by Cambridge University. My school principal brought me the last bill and he said, "Chris, you haven't paid your last bill." It was 11 rupees in 1968. I said, "Sir, I have no money." He said, "Here's your bill. If you don't pay your fees, no results." And he put his hand in his pocket, took out 11 rupees, said, "Go pay." I didn't pay a rupee for my education. Do you think I'm educated? Yes. Wait, don't tell me you don't have a chance in life. You know, you need fathers in your church who can tell you, like I'm telling you, there is no way you can doubt God after knowing Him. Little children, you know, your sins are forgiven and you know, da-da-da-da. He gives me chocolates, He gives me all blessings. Then you grow up, you become strong, you overcome the evil one, you are living victoriously. Right? Where are you in your spiritual growth? Where? Hello? Do you have an answer? And then you covet that growth. I want to be like a father, a spiritual daddy, a spiritual mother to people. When I was about between 18 and 20 years old, I met an elderly person. And he kind of took to me. And in one of the letters, I was telling him some of my sin issues and he was giving me some counsel. And then he wrote to me because I had written to him saying, "You know, I don't have anyone to mentor me, to disciple me, to go to. And it was truth that I was speaking. And he wrote back to me saying, don't look for a spiritual father. Become a spiritual father. And I took that seriously when I was a late teen, in my late teens, early 20s. And I started giving myself to others, discipling others. You know what happened? You accelerate your spiritual growth when you stop looking for somebody to help you and you start helping others. Amen? Start doing it. 2018. Become a spiritual guide, mentor, helper. Reach out to somebody else. Stop being selfish. Spiritual selfishness is possibly the tragedy of the church. Help me, help me, help me. Pastor, pray for me. Wherever I go, he said, after the sermon, they line up. Pray for me, pray for me. So I turn around now. You can see I have a sense of humor, right? So I turn around to people who stand in line saying, pray for me, pray for me. I say, before you ask me anything, you pray for me. You pray for me. Shake and pray for me. Pray for me. And they look at me. No, no, no. You pray for us. Because you're the big fellow with the golden halo around you. They don't say that. But that's the stupidity of Christians. They always think the pastor should. The pastor must be, you know, just sinless. Somewhere next to Angel Gabriel or something. Hey, stop giving yourself. Stop asking somebody else to give you. Will you do that? Bless you. I love this, and I'm going to take you to another passage. And I'm guarding myself from saying as I finish. But I can see time is almost up. Look at it in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6 and 7. It starts with the word therefore in most English translations. Have you got the word therefore? Okay. Because all that I have written before this verse is what the Apostle Paul is saying about Christ, Him being supreme and Him bringing salvation to you and translating you from the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. You have salvation. All this is true. Therefore, what? What does He say? As you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord, so walk in Him. Are you getting it? Ah, you're not getting it. So I need to explain it a little bit. How did you receive Christ Jesus? How did you receive Him when you first came to Christ? When you first received Christ, how did you receive Him? Most of you will say, as my personal Savior. Right? Yes? If you've done that, then this verse is telling you, correct yourself. Look at this verse. And that is the fallacy of gospel preaching. You receive Christ Jesus, the Lord. Who's boss in your life? You have to change your mindset. He's not just a personal savior, like your personal ayah, or peon, or bellhop. He is the Lord. You receive Christ Jesus, the Lord. Whom did you receive into your life? Whom did you surrender to? The Lord. Who is the Savior? Let me tell you this. The Lord, the word Lord means two things. One is deity. He's God. The other is He's Master. He's in charge. Let me tell you also this. When you say, I'm a sinner, you know what you're saying? I'm a rebel. I rebelled against whom? The Master, who is God. Preachers also need to change our content of preaching. Don't receive Jesus as Savior. Acknowledge Him as the Lord, who is the Savior. Because this is also true, that if He wasn't God, He could not save you from sin, right? Because only the perfect sacrifice on Calvary could be God, right? Sinless. Only God is sinless. And only because He is Master, Sovereign, He could conquer it. He could conquer death and He could crush Satan because He is Sovereign Lord. Your sin, which is rebellion against the Lord, doing your own thing. When you repent of your sin, you're saying what? I'm going to stop doing my own thing. I'm going to do what You want me to do. So what Colossians is saying is, correct your thinking patterns about just knowing Christ and receiving Him as the Savior. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so continue in Him. Are you getting it? You continue in the whole movement of Him as the Lord. And one of the reasons why you take your Christian life lightly is because you don't know that when you got saved by the Lord, who is Savior. Who is He? You can't just have Him as Savior. Right from the beginning, you must have Him as the one in charge of your life, who is God, to be worshipped and surrendered to. Are you getting it? Yes? No? Nod your head. Are you getting it? Look at that verse again. Colossians chapter 2 verse 6. Therefore, just as you did, so continue in Him. What did you do? You received Christ Jesus the Lord. So walk in Him. And then he gets into verse 7. Be rooted. Rooted, go deep. The deeper the roots, the stronger and longer the tree will stand against all the storms. Be rooted and grounded. The deeper the foundation, the higher the building can go. Be rooted and grounded in Him. And see what it says. Established in your faith. Just as you were instructed. Be rooted and grounded. Go deep in the Word of God. In Christ. Just as you were instructed. And then, how does it end? Overflowing with? Not prayer requests. Not prayer requests. And, you know, my back is paining, and I'm not growing, and, you know, I have this spiritual problem, and I'm in this sin, and that sin. No, I'm victorious. You'll be overflowing with what? Gratitude, it says. Gratitude. Gratitude means thank you. Thank you, Lord. You've kept me today. You'll keep me tomorrow. Right? You kept me so many years. How many years have you been a Christian? How long? And do you have a long list of things to be grateful for? Even today. So what are we talking about as we enter into this evening, 9 p.m.? What will be your testimony? I hope it's going to be, I want to stop being a whiner, a loser. And I want to really bring great glory to Jesus Christ, the Lord. whom I received, and I want to be rooted and grounded and grow in him, because I want to be at least a young man, right? I don't want to be a father yet. I hope I will continue to be a father, but I want to be a young man who's strong, overcoming the evil one, because I abide in the Word. If you continue in my Word, then you are truly my disciples. Our Father, we bow before you and thank you so much. Thank you so much that you've given us everything in Christ, and we can keep growing and be a help to others, because we are rooted and grounded and established in our faith. And so we praise you. We want to thank you for the way in which you sustain our families. We think of Elizabeth. We pray for your good hand of blessing to be upon her and the whole Mull family. We thank you for Stephen and Arpita, who serve in our church, and we ask, Lord, that you will bless them and give them joy as they bring in another child into this world. Keep that baby safe. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.